Welcome to the August 31st, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raven Smith and is entitled, Ten Commandments of Fellowship. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park. We are so glad that you decided to join us for worship this morning. A few announcements I'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who was here in worship. And we have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike. If you would take that, put your name down, fill in the appropriate contact information to check the right boxes. Then send it to the person sitting beside you. So everybody on the pew has a chance to fill that out. We do ask once it gets to the end of the pew, if you can send it back to where it got started. This helps us find out who was in worship this morning. We appreciate you helping us out with this. We do ask that when it gets back to the first person, if you could rip out the pages that were used today so our ushers can pick up those quickly at the end of the service, that would be helpful. A few announcements I'll make for you. We are having children's time today. So right after the invocation, we want all the children to come down here and to meet with me for just a few minutes. We are having the life service tonight. We want you to come at 7 o'clock for that, for our contemporary worship service there in Smith Hall, the newly carpeted Smith Hall. Everybody's been interested in looking in there. It looks great. We look forward to having worship in there tonight. Do have a message about crisis control. They are desperately in need of any type of food products that you can donate, except green beans and corn. They've got plenty of that, but they are all the other... all the other food is sparse, or the shelves are empty, and the number of their clients have increased dramatically, and we need as much help as they need as much help as possible. So if you're able to consider a donation, that would be great. Reminder also, our prayer partner ministry began last week. There is a table outside of Smith Hall. We hope that you as an adult in the church would consider praying for a child, a youth, or a college student in our church. If you just go by and grab an envelope, it'll say children, a child, a youth, or a college student. Pick up an envelope, tear it open, find out who you've got, and then find their name on the list there on the table, and then write your name beside there so we know who's partnered with who. That is a very important ministry that we have, and we appreciate all the support that you can give. I hope that we can. It usually takes us about a month to 6 weeks to get everybody situated. I'm hoping we can do that in 2 more weeks. So that's a good challenge for us, to get everybody assigned within 2 weeks from today. So if you'd help me as you leave, grab an envelope, that would be great. We are starting our Wednesday night programming this Wednesday. All the regular things are coming up, so we hope that you will be a part of that. We'll have family night supper as well as prayer time. All the children will be doing choirs and missions. The youth will be getting together. There is a called church conference for this Wednesday night. We're talking about 4 different items. 2 pertaining to the new building, potentially, and then 2 others considering. We'll be looking at the possibility of an intern for the school year. We'll be looking at that, as well as a replacement deacon for the coming year. Okay, so we hope that you will come for this Wednesday's Call Church Conference. There will be dinner and prayer time as well. Speaking of Facility Update Committee, they've already had several presentations. They wanted me to make the announcement that this Sunday night, tonight at 6 p.m., if you have any questions about the proposed facility addition, they want you to come at 6 o'clock in Smith Hall to ask those questions. Or you can see any member of the committee about that. Okay. I think that's all the announcements. We are glad that you have come for worship today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest with us, we'd like to say a special welcome to you. You have already given us your information. We want to say thank you for coming. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand And they will come back down the aisles and be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as some information about the church, the history, a little bit of the story of College Park, and the newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. We appreciate you joining us for worship today. This is a reminder from our preschool ministry. We are adding a class to our preschool, Sunday school and nursery time. And with that, we are in desperate need of worship nursery helpers. The way we do it, that increases the number of worship nursery helpers by 16. So we need 16 people to help us out with worship nursery. And we're also looking for Sunday school teachers. If you could help us, this is a desperate need that we have. Our preschool continues to grow, and we need your assistance with this. So if anybody's interested in that, please talk to me after the service. I think that's it for our announcements. It is time for us to do what we do best and what God wants us to do best, and that is worship Him. Let us worship together.
Why are we here?
Is it to see our friends?
Is it to fulfill our duty?
Is it to be seen in our Sunday best?
Or are we here for a higher purpose?
We are here in search of God.
To seek Him.
To call passionately for His presence.
So that we can worship and so we can be transformed by Him.
He is not hiding.
If from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul.
We seek You, Lord.
Father, we invite You into this place. We invite You into the sanctuary, this place that we call holy. It is only holy because You are here. Everywhere You go, everything that You touch is eternally changed. And that's why we've come this morning, to be eternally changed. So be in our worship this day. Be in our presence. Change us. Make us more like You, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite all... saw you. Yeah, I saw you. The great song. It's called I Can See Clearly Now. That's a great song. That's a song by Jeff Moore in the Distance. It's an old one, but it's a really good song. It says, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Now, obstacles. Let me ask a question. Did anybody see the Olympics? Oh, yeah. Weren't they great? I mean, you saw all these athletes. Do you know how long it took those athletes? They trained and they worked and they worked. I hope I brought my picture. I did not bring my picture. That's okay. Have you ever heard of a bobsled team? Anybody, you know what a bobsled? Have you ever gone like sledding when it snows outside and you get on a sled and it goes down the hill and it goes really fast, right? We've done that, right? Well, there's a thing called a bobsled. In the Winter Olympics, there are bobsled races. And sometimes, you know, two people get on there, sometimes four people get on this big thing and they go screaming down this snow track, this ice track, and they're just flying. Well, there was this. Have you ever heard of the country of Jamaica? Jamaica. Jamaica is, you know, you've ever been to Disney World, Orlando, if you've ever been to Florida, it's really hot in Florida. If you keep going south, even where it's hotter, do you think it can snow at places like that? No. But Jamaica is a country south of Florida. They had a bobsled team. Now, how in the world could a team from Jamaica, where it's hot and never snows, get a bobsled team that you need snow and ice to train? How is that possible? You think that's a pretty big obstacle for a bobsled team to work on without any snow or ice? That's kind of hard, isn't it? That's an obstacle that they could go on the sand, or they had to figure out a way to get past those obstacles. Harrison? They could have a snow machine, and that was part of it. They had to overcome a lot of different things, obstacles that were in their way to become good at bobsledding. Well, they actually trained for the Olympics and went to the Olympics just a few years ago. And it reminded me of just the Olympics and all the obstacles, those things that get in our way. We want to get somewhere. If we're going to the beach, you know, if we want to go to the beach, we have to get all this stuff out of our way. Like, you have to load all that stuff, like umbrellas and sunscreen and lots of sunscreen for Fuzzy. You know, there's lots of things that obstacles that get in our way. The beach is fun, but there are a lot of things we have to do to get there. You know, the scripture that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about today is when we have friendships that go bad. Have you ever been mad at a friend? Have you ever been upset they've done something to you? Sometimes that's an obstacle to being what Jesus wants us to be. Okay? So, you know, there was a little girl, when she heard that song I played, she saw and she thought, well, all the obstacles in my way, she thought it said all the popsicles I got to thinking, well, you know, that's a pretty good way. How do you get rid of a popsicle? You just one lick at a time, right? Just one lick at a time, and then slowly and surely what happens? It disappears. The same thing is true for you and for me. When we have friends or we have things that get in the way of doing what God wants us to do, we just do it every day a little bit more, and those obstacles will go away. Our friendships will be based on what God wants them to be based on. Okay? Can y'all help me do that? So think of, instead of obstacles, think of popsicles. Okay? And all the popsicles that the Jamaican bobsled team had to get past. Okay? Will you pray with me? Everybody close your eyes. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. I thank you for these children. We thank you for the fact that when we have these obstacles in our way to relationships with other people, to friends, when people say mean things to us, that you don't want us to say mean things back. You want us to love on people and to help remove those obstacles, those things that are tough and there's things that are difficult to move. You want us to focus on you. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, get back to your seat.
Scripture reading this morning is a short passage from the Psalms. Psalm 9, where I'll be beginning in verse 1. Please feel free to read along, and if you don't have your Bible handy, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. This is Psalm 9, 1, the Psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, for the blessing of your holy word and scripture, we thank you. Lord, for the presence of these precious children that were up here just a moment ago, we thank you. For each person here today and for their presence and participation, I thank you. For whether age 1 or age 99 and anywhere in between, each person here is your creation. And it is a blessing to be in fellowship and worship with others in this community of faith. Lord, as we start a new week and put the closing chapter on this past week, we think about a lot of things. A busy week, a stressful week, a week filled with challenges and blessings and opportunities and surprises that last Sunday we didn't know necessarily were going to be a part of this week. The start of school, we thank you for being with the students and the teachers and all that has gone on at school this week and the way that you have blessed them through that process. Lord, for those who have struggled with health issues this week, including health crisis, we thank you for being with them. And those who are continuing to struggle with their health, we pray for them. We lift them up in prayer and ask for your continued strength and presence and warmth within. Lord, help them not to be discouraged, but just to continue to pray and continue to keep their eyes on you and to know, for them to know that you are with them. And we pray for healing and strength for their bodies. Lord, for those who have struggled with different things this week, we lift them up in prayer as well. Whatever those concerns may be, public or private, personal or not, we lift those up to you. We know that you know our hearts and our minds, and we ask that you just be with us and strengthen us, Lord. It's so difficult sometimes to bring our concerns to you. We want to do it ourselves. We want to keep it private. We want to maintain our image or our reputation or whatever that may be. It's so hard to bring those prayer concerns to you and to our fellow friends and believers. Help us to do that, Lord, to look for the strength that can be had through prayer and through fellowship And take advantage of that, Lord, because it's right there in front of us. We know that you are always there. You will love us always. You are always present with us. Help us to trust that today, to bring our concerns to you, that we may allow you to walk with us step by step and not push you any farther back than that, because we know that you want to be there with us. Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for caring about us and the concerns that we have, the smallest and the biggest, for all of us, Lord. We love you. We trust you. And even though our faith wavers and our minds are weak, we do believe in you, and we know that you are all-powerful and that your love for us is greater than anything that this world has to offer. Help us to trust and believe that this week, and for this to be a week that no matter what is to come, expected or not, that we do it all in fellowship with you. Amen.
We seek you, Lord.
Acknowledge the God of your Father, and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever.
We seek your thoughts. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul.
We seek your covenant. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God.
We seek to understand your ways. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God.
We seek your vision. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
We seek to please you with our faith. We seek you, Father.
Dear God, we thank thee for this church and this opportunity to gather to worship you. We all worship you in different ways and stand at different times. We sing stately hymns and we enjoy the music of praise bands. We pursue heavy theological questions posed by one sermon and then respond to the evangelical call of another message. You have allowed us to build a grand structure here in which to worship. As we seek to spread the good news, many have concluded that we need more space of a different form. We need to spread the word that you have given us to those who do not know you fully. Give us insight. Guide us. Help us to know how best to worship thee in this place in times to come. Help us to know how best to find those who do not know you and bring them full knowledge of your glory. In Christ's name, we ask thee for thy help as we thank thee for all that thou hast given us. Amen.
We seek you, Father.
We seek your blessing.
We seek your face.
We have a passion for you that outlives our earthly desires and the cares of this world.
We seek to know you.
Dwell with us, Lord.
We seek you this morning.
Earnestly.
Passionately.
Sincerely.
Hopefully.
Not for things.
We seek you.
And you alone.
It said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. Well, I've never climbed the highest mountain, but I walked the hill of Calvary, and just to be with you, I would do anything. There's no price. Just to be with you, I would give everything. Yes, I would give my life away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I've heard it said that a man would swim the ocean just to be with the one he loves. Now those dreams are an empty emotion. It can never be done. Well, I've never swam the deepest ocean, but I walked upon the raging sea. And just to be with you, I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay, no. And just to be with you, I would give everything. Yes, I would give my life away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know that you don't realize the fullness of my love, how I died upon the cross for your sin. And I know that you don't realize how much that I gave you, and how I promised that I would do it all again. And just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay, no. And just to be with you, I gave everything. Yes, I gave my life away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I gave my life away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just to be with you. Just to be with you. Oh, just to be with you. Oh, just to be with you.
I've been told that last week I was a little hard on you, and that's okay, because God's word sometimes is a little hard on us, and we need to see what God has to say and take that in. And when we start talking about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, that's a hard lesson. That's something we need to learn, and sometimes it's difficult to hear. And that came from Romans chapter 12, the first 8 verses. And last week, I challenged you to read ahead, to go ahead and read verses 9 through 21, because I said it's really good stuff. And it's such good stuff, I decided I was going to preach on it this week. So if you read it this week, you're ahead of the game. But here's what we're going to do. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, there's actually 24 commands. But the 24 commandments of fellowship was not near as catchy as the 10 commandments of fellowship. So I kind of grouped some of these together, and we are going to look at 10 commandments of fellowship. Last week we talked about being a living sacrifice. Sometimes that's difficult to do, and that's a challenge for us. Being good stewards of the fellowship that God has given us, I think sometimes comes a little easier. I believe we as College Park do a good job with that. There's always room for improvement, but I think we do a good job. And we'll learn today just how good a job we do and just how much more we need to continue to work on our fellowship together. So let's turn together. If you have your Bible, would you please turn to Romans chapter 12? We'll be reading verses 9 through 21, and I'll be referring back and forth to that kind of as we go through these 10 commandments. So again, as Jason had mentioned, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible there pretty close to you, and you're invited to turn with us. If you haven't been with us and heard about our series going through Romans, we've been here for several weeks in the book of Romans, and just in terms of background, Romans is a very in-depth explanation of the gospel. There's quite a bit of doctrine that is explained, and there's also a good deal of practical information about our life as Christians, one with another and with God. And this morning, we're going to be dealing with some of that practical stuff. It comes from doctrine, but it's how we flesh that out and work that out with one another. So our first commandment, and it's appropriate we start there, our first commandment is love one another. Sounds scriptural, doesn't it? It's very scriptural. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, and reading 9 and beginning of verse 10 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Love one another. In verse 9, when it says love must be sincere, the word that's used for love there is agape. And most of you have probably heard this many times before, but again, agape is that unselfish love. It's that love that's sacrificial. It's unconditional. It's the kind of love that Jesus exhibits toward us. It's the kind of love that God exhibited toward us when he sent his son Jesus. Matter of fact, John, when he was writing the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the word love there is agape. It's an unselfish, it's an unconditional, it's a giving kind of love. It's the kind of love that Jeremy and Mary sang about as they were singing love song. It's the kind of love that gives to us. That's the love that we should have for one another. That's the love that should be sincere. And then in verse 10, continue on, he says, cling to what is it? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a different form of love. That's a different word. Paul uses the word Philadelphia, which comes from the word philos, which is friend, and adelphos, which is brother. You may recognize that as the city in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. That's where it comes from. It's the love that we as Christians should have for one another. It's a brotherly love. It's one that comes out of common spiritual life. Brotherly love. The body of Christ, the love that we should exhibit for one another. There's a story that Martha Garrett, who's one of the writers for Christian Reader, it's a little magazine that has some good stories in there. She tells this true story about a lady named Carol. And Carol is a very gracious clerk at her local Christian bookstore. And Carol always refers to the church as the body. So every time that Martha would go in, Carol would say, how's the body? How's the body doing? And she loves to hear stories about how churches are growing, how they're fellowshipping. And Martha tells this story about how when she went in to see Carol one day, that there had been a great deal of conversation, a great deal of excitement about a local church who was giving a birthday party, for lack of a better term, a celebration for their pastor who had hit one of those 0 years. Okay? So they knew it would probably be tough on him. So they were going to try to make this a celebration. And so they were really excited about that. Several of the members had been in buying presents. And Carol began to get wrapped up in this excitement too, being one who loves the body and wanted to be a part of that. She was advising people on what to give to buy and those type of things. Well, Saturday comes. The celebration that happened on Friday night. Saturday comes and the pastor goes into the little Christian bookstore and he told Carol about the surprise celebration and party that the congregation had had and had given him. And Carol's heart was just so touched. And very spontaneously, she just leaned forward and exclaimed to the pastor, his name was John, she said, "Oh, John, I just love your body." And of course, what she was saying is that she loved that congregation. And she loved that spirit of fellowship and that love, the brotherly love as well as the agape love that they were fellowshipping and exhibiting one to another. So that's the first commandment, love one another. The second one is honor one another. It picks up in verse 10, the second part of verse 10. Honor one another above yourselves. The New American Standard says, give preference to one another in honor. Honor. Honor is something that's weighty. It's valuable. It's of high esteem. It's of dignity. Something that you respect. Literally, this command says, lead the way for others in honor. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. God's word commands us to honor and to respect other people. It's very clear. True fellowship, then, should include the fact that we honor one another. The third commandment is worship with one another. That's verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. These are all aspects of exciting, passionate, spirit-filled worship. Worship should draw us closer to God. Worship is about God. It draws us close to Him, but an interesting byproduct of that, as we worship together, we're actually drawn closer to one another as well. Worship, in that sense, then promotes fellowship. So how can we best worship? How can we best serve the Lord? I think that's by being zealous for Him, by burning and boiling with desire for God and His ways. And as we went back to last week, making ourselves, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in our prayer. And if we will do that, then we'll understand that true fellowship means that we worship together. Fourth commandment. Be gracious to one another. That's verse 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. King James Version says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Share. Be gracious to one another. What does share mean? The term there is koinonia, which is lying open to all, which means having in common with each other. It's a form of the word koinonia. And many of you that are in that Sunday school class, you know what that word means. It's a Greek word that means fellowship. It means togetherness. It means common bond. It means, in the truest sense, family. The word was actually fairly new to the early church. If you go back and do a little word study on the word koinonia, Christian fellowship was something that was incredibly unique. It is unlike anything that had ever happened in history. So as the believers were there, they were trying to find a word that they could use to describe what they felt, that bond that they felt with one another. And they couldn't find one in their language at the time that was in circulation. So they went back and they found an old word, dusted it off a little bit, And they used it to describe that relationship that they had with fellow believers. And that word was koinonia. Fellowship. Common bond. Go reading on in the second part of the verse. It talks about practicing hospitality. Not only are we supposed to have that bond with one another, we are supposed to extend that to other people. To chase after hospitality. Now Paul goes beyond friendliness to the saints, and he begins to pull other people into this now. And we need to learn to be gracious to one another, but we also need to be gracious to any person that walks in these doors to be a part of our fellowship. There's a story about a gentleman, and it's documented, and he names some of the churches, and I'm not going to name those because they're all very well-known churches in America. But there was 18 different churches that this gentleman went and visited on successive Sundays. And what he was trying to find out is what church is really like. He had led somewhat sheltered life, grown up in a small congregation. But he wanted to know what other churches doing. What's church really like? And in each church he went into, he was very neatly dressed. He was comparing apples with apples in the sense that he went in, sat in a similar place in the church, and gave ample opportunities for others to fellowship with him. And then he used a scale. He had kind of a scorecard that he kept on these churches. And it was based on the reception that he received. Here was his points. He awarded points based on interaction. He would award points, 10 points, for every smile from a worshiper that he received. He would award 10 points for a greeting, a verbal greeting that was extended to him by someone sitting nearby. He would give 100 points if they exchanged names and or phone numbers, addresses, that contact information. He would give 200 points for an invitation to join them for lunch or to have coffee or some sort of fellowship over a meal to get to know them better. He would give 200 points for an invitation to come back, to return to worship. He would give 1,000 points for an introduction to another worshiper. For example, if Avery said, well, Raymond, let me introduce you to Sarah. That's 1,000 points. He gave 2,000 points if there was an introduction for them to meet the pastor. Not sure why that is, but I'd rather meet the person beside personally. But based on that scale, 11 of the 18 churches earned fewer than 100 points. Yeah, gasp. 5 churches actually received less than 20 points. These are all very well-known churches. And the conclusion he drew from his little experiment was the doctrine may be biblical, the singing may be inspirational, the sermon may be uplifting, but when a visitor finds nobody who cares whether they're even there, they are very unlikely to come back. You see, we need to be gracious to everybody who comes here, not just the people we know. We need to practice hospitality, which of course means you can't ask them to move when they're in your seat. We need to be purposeful. As we come in for the gathering time, we need to be purposeful about greeting one another, greeting everyone as we come in. Each of us needs to be a greeter in that sense. True fellowship means we are gracious to one another. The 5th commandment, do not be spiteful toward one another. Picking up in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Skipping down to verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And then down to verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, I don't know about you. I get most everything else I read. But when I came to that part, it piqued my curiosity. That thing about heaping burning coals on somebody's head. And immediately our mind kind of goes, wait a minute. You know, you think back to the Old Testament. Psalm 140, verse 10, talks about what a horrible destruction and punishment that is to have coals, you know, rain down upon you. We think about the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing in Genesis 19. You know, when burning coals are talked about being heaped on our head, that's generally not a pleasant thought. That's not a positive thing. But if you do a little research on this, it's interesting because the coals on the head probably referred to a ritual that was very common in Egypt where a person showed repentance by carrying a pan of burning charcoal on his or her head. So in light of that, probably the message that's actually being portrayed here, this is a quote from Proverbs chapter 25. And the history on it is what it's probably saying here is helping rather than cursing an enemy will actually bring them to repentance. It's not saying, you know, helping rather than cursing will bring judgment, a fire upon them. It's saying it will bring them, it will shame them into repentance. Remember, a pat on the back is only a few vertebrae removed from a swift kick in the pants, but it's miles ahead in results. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "I've decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear." That'll preach. You see, when we're hurt by someone, we want to hurt them back, don't we? Our natural response is to get even, to get revenge. But God says it's not ours to get. He's going to take care of that. In His wisdom, He will help things work out. You see, don't let others hurt you twice by making you bitter and angry. If we're going to grow warmer through fellowship, we need to let God take care of settling whatever scores need to be settled. Because true fellowship means we are not spiteful toward one another. Sixth commandment, empathize with one another. That comes in verse 15. Empathize. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I don't know if you've ever hit your thumb with a hammer. Have you? What'd you say right after you did it? Right? Well, never mind. Never mind. We won't go there. But the point is, it makes your whole body hurt. You know, when one part of your body hurts, your whole body hurts. You can ask my son today. When one part of your body hurts, everything hurts. The whole body suffers. We need to rejoice and celebrate with those who are rejoicing, and we need to learn how to mourn appropriately with those who are mourning. And when I say appropriately, what I mean is we need to be sincere, not superficial. We need to be compassionate with them. Really, not even sympathy, more empathy. You know, when someone's hurting or struggling, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to tell all our stories about when that happened to us. We don't need to downplay the seriousness of the situation. And men, I got to tell you, we're probably the worst at this because we want to fix things. When someone's sharing things with us, our mind immediately is racing toward, how can I fix this for them? You know, we got a plan already laid out before they even finish sharing. And we need to do less of that and do more empathizing with them. We need to hurt with them. We need to come alongside them in their hurt and be with them and let them know that we're there to support them in their hurt. You know, we don't have to understand their situation. We just have to care and let them know that we care. I don't find myself quoting Robert Schuller very much, but he did say at one point, "Love is my decision to make your problem my problem." And I like that. Love is my decision to make your problem my problem, to come alongside of you. True fellowship means that we empathize with one another. Commandment number 7, get along with one another. This comes from verse 16a and verse 18. Verse 16a says, live in harmony with one another. The New American Standard says, be of the same mind toward one another. And then in verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As much as possible, live at peace. Now, Definition. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is an acceptance. It is an open line of communication by which we can work our way through conflict. It's agreeing to disagree sometimes. It's contentment even in the face of disagreement. You know, why can't we get along as a church? I think we do. Other churches, I'm not going to speak for them. But as the church, there's always room for improvement. Churches are splitting over disagreements that we joke about. Things about the color carpet and that type of thing. We joke about that stuff, but churches actually split over things like that because they don't know how to live at peace with one another. You know, that's our command. You know, we're family. Wayne Brower, in his article in Leadership Magazine, which is a great little magazine that I get on occasion, he talks about a German philosopher, Schopenhauer, and forgive me if that's not the correct pronunciation, but Schopenhauer compared the human race to a bunch of porcupines huddled together on a cold winter night. He says, you know, we want to get warm, but we've got these quills sticking out, and so we try to huddle together to get warm, but as we do, we just keep kind of poking and sticking each other. He says, and what happens, unfortunately, is as we get kind of poked and stuck by other people as we attempt to get warm and get closer to one another, we get tired of getting poked and sticked, and so we leave, and we freeze to death alone. He says, instead of that, he says, we need to understand that Christ has given us an alternative, and that is to forgive one another for the little pokes and sticks that we receive, and stay together in warm fellowship, supporting one another. That's a beautiful thought. We need to find a way to get along, recognizing there's going to be differences. There's going to be personality conflicts. The Christian comedian Mike Warnke once said, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. And that's true. True fellowship means getting along with those of us that are here. We are family. We are the body. Command number 8, be humble toward one another. Verse 16b says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I think this is similar when we went to the first commandment where it talked about honoring one another, or the second one, I think, of honoring one another. But it goes even further than honoring one another. It talks about, in my mind, being willing to get down and get dirty with the work that needs to be done. Some things that others would think, well, that's kind of beneath me to do that. You know, how often do we think, well, you know, I'm better than that. Somebody else can do that. Can you imagine what family would be like if everybody opted out of work because it was beneath them? Jerry Rice, in my book, is probably the best receiver that's ever played football in the NFL. And in an interview by a television station, he was once asked, as much talented as you exhibited, why in the world did you go to Mississippi Valley State University? Why didn't you go to a big school, a really strong football school? And Jerry responded, oh, it's very simple. It's very simple. When I was in high school, I wanted to go play football in college. He says, and there were a lot of big schools that contacted me. When I say contacted me, it's not being gracious, because they'd send a card, or they'd have a phone call, or they might send a package of information. He said, Mississippi Valley State University is the only school that came to visit me in person and sat down with me and talked to me face to face. He says, and my thought is those other schools thought they were just a little bit too good to come visit with me in person. So I decided I would honor their visit by going and playing football with them. It's a little thing. But you know, sometimes we think that we're a little bit too good to do this task or that task in the church. And we've got to get past that. Jeff made an appeal for worship nursery. You may think, well, I've done my time there, or that's a little beneath me. There's nothing that you can do that would be a more valuable investment in the lives of those precious children than to love on them for about an hour once every, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks, 2 months. See, we've got to get past that. True fellowship means we give personal attention to everyone and everything in the kingdom that needs to be attended to. Commandment number 9. Hang with me. We're almost done. Commandment number 9. Be honest with one another. Verse 17b. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. In other words, demonstrate integrity in everything that you do. You know, speak the truth in love. Be genuine. Be real. That's what the world is. The world is just waiting to see Christians that are real. That's what they want to see. How does it relate to me? Be real. One of the greatest compliments that we could ever receive is to be a man or a woman of integrity. One who is real. That is a powerful testimony to the God that we worship and the God that we serve. True fellowship means that we're going to be honest with one another. And the 10th commandment is that we're going to be good to one another. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Stop being conquered by evil, but keep on conquering evil with good. And I think this sums up every other command that we've gone through. Don't let the negative things that we see in people replace the good things of fellowship. We are a diverse family. We come from different backgrounds, different ages, we different life situations, different circumstances, different experiences, but we're family. More importantly, we're commanded by God to act like family. And this means encouraging one another, listening to each other, forgiving each other, resolving conflicts, empathizing with one another, building each other up. True fellowship means that we're good to one another. The 10 commandments of fellowship: love one another, honor one another, worship with one another, be gracious to one another, do not be spiteful toward one another, empathize with one another, get along with one another, be humble toward one another, be honest with one another, and be good to one another. Thank you. there's always an invitation for you to respond to what you've heard, what you've experienced in worship. We want to extend that invitation this morning. If you are not a believer, you don't understand the nature of agape, unselfish, unconditional love, I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with the God who created you and loves you beyond even our own comprehension. I'll be glad to share that with you, how you can receive Christ. I'll also open the invitation for those of you who are believers, but maybe would like to recommit yourself to the type of fellowship that we've learned about this morning. Yes, last week, offering yourself as a living sacrifice, but this week also, recommitting yourself to building the bonds of fellowship. The altar will certainly be open here if you'd like to come and pray. If you'd like to come and pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place and help us as we come to those decisions, you're certainly welcome to do that. If you would like to join this body of believers, we call it the body, we would be glad to receive you. There are many ways we receive members and be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand together and sing. I invite you back tonight. 7 o'clock, we'll worship together in Smith Hall in Life. I also invite you this week to fellowship with us, one with another. Speak a word of fellowship as you leave from this place. Come back and join us in a meal on Wednesday night, a meal of fellowship together. Let's pray. Dear Father, now as we go, we pray that you would be with us, that you would walk beside us so that we can walk beside others who are scared to death. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service.
Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.